Piper, Washington is still gridlocked over badly needed aid to Israel and Ukraine. CBS's Charlie Daggett in Kyiv says it's not just Ukraine feeling the pinch.
While Congress wrestles over that $60 billion Ukraine funding package, CBS News has learned that the lack of money severely impacts U.S. Army operations on NATO's eastern flank with the country and beyond. Spokesman Colonel Martin O'Donnell says the lack of funding also puts in peril.
Not only exercises that, you know, maintain our readiness, but should the need arise, our ability to stand, you know, side by side with our NATO allies.
And President Biden plans to meet Tuesday with congressional leaders at the White House to talk aid. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says victory in Gaza would only be weeks away if the military launches an offensive in Rafah. That's the town in southern Gaza where more than a million displaced civilians are in shelter. BBC reporter Paul Adams from Jerusalem.
We have not seen any of the things that we saw in Gaza City or Khan Yunis, the mass leafleting of a city, the messaging to telling people to leave, and perhaps equally importantly, telling them where they should leave to. None of this has happened, which tells me that there is very little prospect of an assault on Rafah anytime soon.
Back here, CBS's Bradley Blackburn says it was a tough weekend for Nikki Haley as Donald Trump beat her in the South Carolina Republican primary.
Roughly 800,000 South Carolinians took to the polls Saturday.
Donald's going to carry it, and I'm just adding to the pile.
Weighing the choice between a former president and the state's former governor.
I had to come have one more vote against Trump.
I had to hold my nose to vote, to be honest.
For her part, Haley says she's still in the race for president. She's been campaigning in the next primary state of Michigan. Moviegoers showed more love to Bob Marley at the box office.
Bob Marley One Love was number one again, pulling in another $13.5 million in its second week of release at the box office. The late musician's biopic has now grossed more than $120 million worldwide. Anime flick Demon Slayer came in at number two for theaters. It made about $12 million.
I think I'm supposed to help.
And Hilary Swank's new drama, Ordinary Angels, debuted in third, pushing Marvel's Madame Web into fourth. The superhero movie's still struggling after flopping last week. Monica Ricks, CBS News.
Prices are going up at United Airlines. The price for the first checked bag increased by $5 to $40. The move comes just days after a similar one by American Airlines. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two proposed amendments to the Wisconsin Constitution are moving forward. Both ideas came up during the COVID-19 pandemic. One would let churches and other houses of worship stay open during public health emergencies. It needs to be passed by lawmakers one more time. The other would give the legislature more say on how to spend federal money. That amendment now goes to a statewide referendum in November. Governor Evers says he'll veto a Republican bill to fight PFAS pollution in Wisconsin, but Representative Jeffrey Mersau says the bill has important legal protections for innocent landowners.
That's the whole crux of this whole bill, is trying to get stuff cleaned up without taking and making somebody liable that had nothing to do with it.
Evers says the bill weakens the state's enforcement authority. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Brewers lose to the Rockies. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After winning their opener, the Brewers lost 10-3 in Arizona to the Colorado Rockies. More games today and tomorrow, and then on Wednesday, the Brewers will face the Chicago Cubs and their new manager, Craig Counsell. NBA, the Bucks with a 119-98 win over the 76ers. Before the game, the fans in Philly booing Doc Rivers, where he last coached before taking on the job in Milwaukee. Marquette with a win at home, 88-64 against Xavier. Cam Jones led the Golden Eagles with 34 points and talked about how loud their fans got during the game.
Basically, the crowd is a reflection of us at home and even on the road. So, you know, the crowd is going to follow our energy. And Coach does a great job of, like, you know, it's about us on the court and doing what we need to do. And then the crowd will follow. And we had the best crowd that I've ever heard.
Head coach Shaka Smart.
Really happy for Cam to get 34 points on his birthday. I thought overall, really good defensive effort by our guys.
That's Marquette's Shaka Smart. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-20s. Mostly sunny and breezy on your Monday. We'll see a high around 59. For Monday night, partly cloudy, a low of 33. Tuesday, partly sunny, 63. Temperatures crash for Wednesday, mid-20s for highs. Currently 26 degrees.
Tune in Monday, special Devil's Advocates, live from Michigan before the primary. Dom's old stomping grounds. Listen, WMDX, 3 to 6 p.m. Central Time.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning, Civic Media. My name is Greg Bach. I am the co-host of Matt and Air on Air because I'm sitting in for Jane today. Because Jane, and we can talk about this because we talked about it yesterday, she's getting a colonoscopy, being healthy, taking care of herself. So I am sitting in from 10 a.m. to noon. Thank you so much for being here. Remember, you can always listen to us on the Civic Media app, so don't forget to download the free Civic Media app. You can also call in or text in, that number being 844-967-2789. Once again, 844-96-PARTY. We have a really fun show today. Got tons of guests coming up. We're going to be talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area, as well as Matt Miller from On Milwaukee, and a good friend of mine who will be talking about doing improv comedy, the Milwaukee comedy scene, and, you know, trying new things as we get older. Amy Westrop will be joining us at the top of the next hour. But most importantly, I have a guest host with me, a guy I adore who was on the show earlier this week. Put your hands together, crowd listening, all the listeners out there. Fancy Brian Kelly.
Hi, everyone.
It's listen to that. Oh,
good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Brian, how are you doing today?
I am fantastic. I'm broadcasting out of my new at-home studio, version 8.6.9.6785. Pretty excited about it. I finally got a setup that I really enjoy, and it's going to get even better today. I'm going to have more ways to connect directly to the airwaves right from my own home. It's pretty exciting.
Brian Kelly getting to the people. If you're not watching the live stream right now, Brian is wearing a Star Wars t-shirt. He's not just a Star Wars fan. He loves that movie so much. He loves those films so, so much. He has a framed picture, not a poster, but like as if it was his child of Chewbacca on his wall.
It's directly above my head, and it's not just Chewbacca. I'm going to adjust my camera a little bit.
Oh,
it says Wisconsin on it.
It just says Wisconsin, and it's Chewbacca.
So, quick. Civic Media history. We used to be two stations, one of them in Milwaukee, one of them on Brady Street, right? We had a studio on Brady Street, and we got to know a lot of the locals there. And one of our locals, we had a Resist theme going on because it was, 2018-ish type of thing. And some artist actually just took a bunch of Star Wars figures. Dom has a Stormtrooper, and there's a couple other ones, and put, like, our logo mixed in with Wisconsin and different things. And I ended up getting the Chewbacca one because if you wanted to go and put my personality profile together, it would be a combination of Chewbacca and Samwise Gamgee. At least on the inside.
Chewbacca on the outside.
Oh, yeah.
Samwise on the inside.
For sure.
All right. Well, that's Fancy Brian Kelly right there. He's here for the first half hour of the show. We're happy to have him here. Brian, guess what's happening right now in the good old city of Nashville, Tennessee?
A lot of great music. And a lot of great music being recorded.
Yes, those both are very, very true. But I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about this year's 2024 CPAC convention.
Oh, preaching to the choir. So again, music being recorded. Good.
I don't know if it's so much preaching, Brian, as it is just full-on yelling at a choir.
There's a lot of yelling. A lot of the keynote speakers, and I've noticed this throughout the years because I've had to cover this.
Yeah.
A lot of the first speakers are like the most yelly,
yeah,
screamiest, and they always scream something about freedom, usually.
Oh, that. Well, I mean, that's what they're all about. They're about freedom. Freedom to own guns, freedom to buy up all the land you want. I mean, you don't get freedom over your own body, and God knows they're going to tell you how to raise your children, but they are all about freedom at the CPAC convention happening right now in Tennessee. And you're like, so I've been watching these clips for a long time, and you know, you usually have your speakers and they're, and you're right, they're trying to whip up confidence. They're trying to get them excited, but there is a different tone this year. And it's one of, it's like part vengeance, part apocalyptic takeover. And there is tape to prove it. Gentleman by the name of Jack Posobiec, I think I'm pronouncing his name, Jack Posobiec. It's a very quick clip of him at the conference, and he's just making it very clear how he feels about what we need to do to quote unquote move ahead in this country. Calvin, please play that clip.
All right, welcome. I just wanted to say welcome to the end of democracy. We're here to overthrow it completely. We didn't get all the way there on January 6th, but we will endeavor to get rid of it and replace it with this right here. We'll replace it with this right here.
Amen.
That's right, because all glory is not to government, all glory to God.
Now, he's holding a cross up in the air, and I have no problem with you exalting the glory of God. If you believe that, that's awesome. But when he says the end of democracy.
And we didn't get it done on January 6th.
Yeah, but I thought January 6th, Brian, was just a bunch of people on a tour or, you know, hostages now. That's the big thing. They're hostages.
We're not even like, what, a couple minutes in here, and I'm going to invoke the Founding Fathers. I'm invoking the Founding Fathers clause.
You heard it here, folks. Brian's invoking the Founding Fathers.
I'd like to invoke the Founding Fathers clause, please. I'm going to stand up and say, listen, the Founding Fathers put together this country based on directly the opposite of what that person just said. Directly the opposite.
Yeah.
Like if you had studied even just a rudimentary, even like a sea level average in history and government, you should know that what was said there is the direct opposite antithesis of what our entire government is supposed to be based on.
But they always tend to say, no, you are wrong. The Founding Fathers were Christians. This is a Christian nation. And I, you know,
to which Ben Franklin would laugh in your stupid, ignorant face. I'm sorry, he would.
And then say, I just invented electricity.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, well, it's just.
Anyway.
But that's the tone. And that's the, I mean, honestly, it's not, both the wording is not surprising and just the overall sense of like, you know, we're not going to get this done until we create basically, I'm sorry to be alarmist, but a fascist theocracy where
that's literally what that is.
We rule by the law of the man above. That just can't seem correct. For, I mean, I have to imagine everyone in that room is on board with that. I'm wondering how many people said, you know what, I'm going to go see another speech.
None.
They all step around.
And you know what the next step to that is? The divine right of kings. Because if you believe in this is God's will, it's all about God. Well, geez, God must have put Donald Trump in front of us to be our Lord and Savior.
And that's what they're saying. You kind of face any sins of him in front of them, that he is an imperfect man. An imperfect man is picked by God to lead us to the promised land. So that was more of the religious bent. Now we're going to move towards the revenge. Gotcha. You are going to suffer under our boot from a political newcomer, Brian. You may have heard of him. His name is Steve Bannon.
Former
chief strategist for the White House back when Trump was originally in office in 2016.
Fun fact, that's the he was the basis of Baron Harkonnen in Dune, just so you know.
Are you serious? I don't know. I don't read.
Exactly. You don't know the difference, do you?
You never know. I mean, Steve Bannon's been around for a long time. I think he's 150. Calvin, can you play that clip from Steve Bannon?
And that's why they hate him. They don't hate him. They don't hate him because he's Trump. They hate him because he represents you. He gives you a voice, and he will not back down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Look at Fox News. Look at Fox News. The president announces his, this is historic. A guy gave you 4 years of peace and prosperity, announces he's going to run again after having it stolen in broad daylight, of which they participate in. They cover it live for 20 minutes, and then they say, if there's anything newsworthy, we'll cut back, and they go to some panel and some discussion.
Wait for it.
Note to Fox senior management. When Donald J. Trump talks, it's newsworthy.
Yeah.
What happened in the first week of January? You had Matt Gaetz and Boebert in the Magnificent Six that stood there and put it all on the line. And what did Fox News do? They rolled out Karl Rove and the hacks from the Bush administration that got us in this mess to say, we need unity. We need unity to look turn. We're not looking for unity. We're looking for victory.
And that is, I watched that entire speech, and it's 15 minutes, and it never lets up. It starts at that level. It starts at a 9.5 and breaks into 11 to 12 the whole time. He is just yelling at them, and they are loving it because they see it as divine right and vengeance. That's what this election's all about.
I don't like Donald Trump literally because of exactly what he said, and that's why I said it then, because he's giving voice to people who are anti-democracy, mm-hmm. anti this country, and anti exactly what it means to be a United States person and citizen. The things that we are trying to go and exalt and show that, you know, hey, United States, we're doing this great democracy experiment, which, by the way, is still young, a couple hundred years old, is extremely young for any country in general, especially one of the power that we have. So we're acting like a bunch of, you know, basically drunk teenagers at this point.
And, you know,
compared to the rest of the world.
And honestly, I thought about that a while ago, and I was like, all right, let's look at like China and Great Britain,
1200,
and all these countries, and how old they are in comparison to how old we are. And you're right, we are petulant teenagers. We're breaking out of our bedrooms to go hang out and drink behind the 7-Eleven or whatever kids do. I didn't do that growing up, but yeah, I mean, it's embarrassing. But they also, I mean, side note here, I don't know if you knew this, but former Prime Minister Liz Truss showed up and gave a fiery speech about how Biden got involved in their politics and we need to take the country back and we need more conservatives to control the message.
How was she received was that a good time that she was in control of things?
No.
And by the way, is Boebert even available to run again? Is she kind of basically just erased from power?
She's pulling a Hovde. She's moving to a different district and both there, but we're going to keep the conversation running. I have to go get some water real quick because I'm thirsty and one must hydrate. But stay with us. We're going to come back with Brian Kelly, Mr. Fancy Brian Kelly. You are listening to Civic Media Radio Network. Matt and Air on the air. I'm Greg Box sitting in for Jane. Stay with us.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
If I could turn back time.
You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Baca, sitting in for Jane, who is out for today. I don't even know if I did this, and I apologize from the deepest part of my heart. Calvin on the boards. I'm so sorry I didn't introduce you before, but we couldn't do without him. He's running the boards, running the phones, making sure the music plays. Everything's happening. Calvin on the boards. Thank you for being here.
I appreciate you, Greg.
Yeah. All those listening to us on WXCO, Wausau Bulls Fall Radio, hello, at WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, Homegrown Radio. Hi there, how you doing? And we welcome back for some more discussion, Mr. Fancy Brian Kelly. Brian, no CPAC would be amazing without the man they talk about, the man they are worshiping, bowing to. And that is, and it's the only way that Steve Bannon would refer to him as Donald J. Trump.
Look, I've had a lot of idols in my day. I was a huge Kevin Spacey fan.
Yeah.
I was a real big fan of Louis C.K.
Yep.
You know, there's a, and not once did I, was I like, oh, well, they're a big jerk. Man, I got to make all the excuses in the world and bend over backwards to make sure that they're my number one idol in my life. I never, ever felt that for anyone, so I don't understand how it can happen to so many millions of people.
There's a lot.
And my dad voted for Trump. I'm just saying that. And he just did it because he hated government at the time. He was a Ross Perot guy. But now he's like, "What? This guy is an idiot. I don't understand why this. I thought he was going to do something different."
No. They just, and that's the thing too, is if you like Kevin Spacey and Louis C.K., that's your life. Do what you want to do. I'm not going to sit here and have that argument anymore. But it's that digging in and saying, well, no, you just don't understand.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not worth it. And a lot of those people, we've had this conversation a lot about how do you talk to those individuals? And I don't think it's impossible. And I don't think you can't. I just think if you were going to, let's say your father is just one of these people at CPAC. If you're going to have the conversation, you have to put it in your head. You're like, all right, I'm going to go home this weekend. I'm going to sit down with my dad in the garage. We're going to crack open a beer, and we're just going to talk. I'm going to maintain my composure. I'll let him get upset, but I want to find out and try to make him understand that what he's doing is harmful. You know what I mean? Like, you really have to put yourself in that place. But I bring up Mr. J-Trump because that's what I call him, J-Trump or Drumpf. Because he
just like Joe Biden.
Yeah, Biden. Yeah, basic. But we have his speech from him. Calvin, can you play the beginning of his speech?
By the way, where's Hunter? Where is Hunter? Remember? Where's Hunter?
Greatest hits.
Will there ever be a time when Joe Biden says this thing with Hunter just isn't working out well?
He was there.
I'm starting to get a little angry at Hunter.
He was ready to talk.
Or when Hunter comes to him and says, Dad, we have a problem. What? What is it, son? Another one? Oh, son, you're a disaster, son. Son, you're a disaster. Dad, we have a problem. I left my laptop at the repair shop. And Joe looks at him and says, what's on it, son? What's on it? And Hunter looks back and he says, every single crime that you've ever committed, Dad.
Hey, at least he answers his son's calls. When has Tiffany ever answered? Oh, wait.
It was, I believe the Independent said it was just called a rambling speech. and it's about 8 minutes long, and it just goes through all of the greatest hits. I mean, it really is. It says Trump delivers incoherent speech praising Capitol rioters after judge denies $355 million fraud delay. And it goes to what you were saying earlier, is there's no policy. Of course there's no long-term vision other than we win, they go down.
Yeah. Well, okay, you won. You won before. What did you do?
Yeah.
You put the country in a trillion-dollar deficit to go and do the one piece of legislation you did and never resolved it afterwards.
That's not according to Stephen Cabanon. He said that it was 4 years of peace and prosperity. He kept on saying that as well during his speech. And just to make sure that...
Didn't he launch the mother of all bombs? The largest bomb that has ever been released ever by any human being was signed off on by Donald Trump so he can say he blew up Afghanistan. But that was peace and prosperity?
On top of that, just to make sure they kept their message contained, they actually denied press passes to Huffington Post, Washington Post, and other news outlets, calling them left wing, and saying if they want to attend, they can buy a ticket like everyone else.
Huh?
Yeah.
I thought freedom of press was a thing.
Oh no, not Brian. That's adorable. Hey, Kelvin, really quick question: where are we in Trump's speech right now?
He's now in jail.
Yep.
And the whole thing is a complete con job. And she was ordered to pay me, a federal court ordered this, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
No.
But they're still looking at it.
No.
They're still looking.
Just like he's still being audited.
And all they do is they cause anger and problems for our country because our people
are. No, just put up or shut up, you dummy.
It never ends. In the meantime, Hunter and Joe Biden skate. You know, they skate. They go away free. What's going on with that? I mean, that laptop is a disaster. Has anyone read this thing? How can it
be? Still talking about the laptop. We're like 4 minutes into that speech.
Says the guy who uses his own cell phone that has been hacked several times to go and talk about national security issues. But that's cool.
You're never going to believe it. His password is password.
So is mine. But that's because, look, it's just easier. Listen, if someone's going to go and hack into you, they're going to know how to go and get past your password no matter what your password is. So just make something easy for yourself and move on. It's really just a bot stop. It's just to stop a bot from doing stuff and just to make you feel secure. That's literally all it is. I'm just letting you know that right now.
I have opened up a sore spot for Brian Kelly.
I'm sorry, man. I get a lot of how do you computer emails.
How do I attach a file? Okay.
Honestly, to prove this point also and to remind everybody that people don't understand at the highest levels of government what they are doing. Do you know why Paul Manafort is in jail? Because he didn't know how to convert a PDF file, so he emailed it to Rick Gates, and that's how they found him. That's it.
And this has been Computing with Brian Kelly.
This guy moved the policy of several countries and didn't know how to convert a PDF.
Oh, that's not surprising.
If you ever feel like you're unqualified for something, there is an idiot down the hall in a suit that thinks that they are the best thing ever. Just so you know.
Okay. Well, on that note, Mr. Brian Kelly, thank you so much. Where were you on that Trump speech? What's he talking about now, Kelvin?
One word. And how stupid am I telling you this story right now? Because now that we gotta find something in there. He made a typographical error. There's a revolution going on within the FBI because they don't want to be doing what they're being told to do because they know right from wrong. I'm talking about the people.
All right, he's gonna talk about the FBI for a while. So we're gonna let that go. Brian Kelly, thank you so much for being here with me in the first half hour.
Of course.
Yeah.
I appreciate you having me, man.
All right. Great.
Anytime.
Okay. Well, hopefully we'll hang out again sometime soon and talk baseball and comedy and stuff like that. Brian Kelly, thank you so much for being here. When we come back, Dan Schaefer from the award-winning Recombobulation area is going to be joining us as usual on Fridays. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Ukraine is urging allies to send more aid to help defend against Russia. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is back in the U.S. after a trip to the war-torn country.
President Zelensky told us, if Ukraine gets the aid, they'll win the war against Russia. But if they don't get the aid, they will lose that war. It is that crucial.
The U.S. is trying to negotiate another ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. But on CBS's Face the Nation, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says that won't stop a military offensive in Rafah.
If we have a deal, it'll be delayed somewhat, but it'll happen. If we don't have a deal, we'll do it anyway.
More than a million civilians are sheltered there. Nikki Haley is campaigning in Michigan after a loss to former President Trump in the South Carolina primary, but she says she's still in the race and is raising lots of money.
70% of Americans have said they don't want Donald Trump or Joe Biden in this next election.
CBS News Brief, I'm Matt Piper.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
4 Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The State Ethics Commission is accusing GOP State Representative Janelle Branchian and Donald Trump's Joint Fundraising Committee of evading campaign finance laws to steer money towards Robin Voss's primary challenger in 2022. They allege that they, along with others, steered $40,000 in donations to the Langlade County GOP, which they then sent to Adam Steen. The Ethics Commission is recommending local district attorneys to investigate and charge those involved with committing felonies. Several University of Wisconsin building projects are closer to moving forward after final legislative approval Thursday. The bill is now before the governor. The projects include a new engineering building at UW-Madison. It's part of the deal the UW system struck with Republican lawmakers in exchange for new limits on campus diversity efforts. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. Biomarker testing was a turning point for me. By working with my oncologist, we were able to determine the most appropriate treatment plan. My fear was I wasn't going to be here to see my children grow up. That gave me hope, knowing that I have that chance. And I did. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-20s. Mostly sunny and breezy on your Monday. We'll see a high around 59. For Monday night, partly cloudy, a low of 33. Tuesday, partly sunny, 63. Temperatures crash for Wednesday, mid-20s for highs. It's 24 right now.
The D3.
D3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in. And one.
The thrilling victories.
Badgers win it. Oh, did they dig in defensively tonight?
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Takes the three. Sidesteps left for three in the lead. He hit it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane. Draw and kick. Right corner three. Got it again.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
You need skill and a little luck to play the game of pool, and you could say one cue-making company in Wisconsin has both. Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake is the oldest pool cue-maker in the U.S. and remains a family-owned, third-generation-operated business. Schmelke started as a one-man shop in the 1940s. Now more than 20 employees work at the facility. So do you know which state has the most cue-making manufacturers? Is it Maryland, Minnesota, Wisconsin? The answer coming up. Pool is an old game, and the cues similar to the ones used to play today were created in the late 1600s in Northern Europe. Pool came to America in the 19th century. So did you guess which state currently has 4 of the top 5 cue manufacturers? It is Wisconsin. And Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake has also been inducted into the International Cue Makers Hall of Fame, making this a worldwide slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Matt and Air on Air Live. I am Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is out for the day. You're listening to this show live right now. You could be listening to it on your car radio. You could be listening to it live streaming, as well as seeing our beautiful faces. But you could also be listening to it by downloading the Civic Media app. Listen to shows live and search for your local station. And you can also call and text into the show using the Civic Media app. Download it for free in the Google Play or App Store. We'd love to have you come along. As always, you can text and call the show, 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. Or you can also comment on the live stream on YouTube, Twitter, or Facebook. Now, it is Friday. It is 10:30. There's only one thing we need to do right now, Calvin, who's on the boards. That's recombobulate. And we're going to do that with founder of the Recombobulationary, the award-winning Recombobulationary, Mr. Dan Schaefer. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Greg. Happy to be here. How's everything going?
It's going great. I got Calvin, so it's all safe. I feel good. He's like my safety blanket, but he won't let me hug him.
That's a smart move on Calvin's part.
Okay, fine. Dan, we got a lot to talk about. There's a lot going on that you've been recombobulating at the area. So I know that we've been talking about maps pretty much nonstop every week for a while, which is important because they're very, very pertinent to what's going on. You know, last week we thought, early this week, we thought, okay, cool. He's going to sign those maps. He's doing a victory lap. And now we read a story yesterday that says he wants to talk to the Supreme Court, and Jane and I were both go, wait, what? So what can you tell us about that?
So I think he wants to take a look at what's going on with not only the state legislative maps, but the congressional maps. And so, you know, I think throughout the since we've had, you know, the court flipped and Janet Protasiewicz took her seat, the case that was brought forth almost immediately after she was sworn in was about state legislative maps. But there have also been, you know, a number of cases out there. And one in particular from Mark Elias, who has successfully sued the Trump administration a number of times. And he was bringing a case forward about the congressional maps. And the congressional maps, you know, not nearly as extreme, perhaps, as the state legislative maps were gerrymandered. But having a 6-2 congressional split in Wisconsin is not really as reflective of the type of 50-50 state that Wisconsin is.
Yeah.
So it does make sense to have this happen. And I think it's interesting that the governor is making some waves here and saying not only should we have these new state legislative maps that I just signed in after this long process, we should also take a look at those congressional maps. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, the state Supreme Court has not said whether or not they will take this case.
Yeah.
And so we'll have to wait and see. We haven't heard from the state Supreme Court this week after all of this redistricting noise and all of the news and whatever else. It's been pretty quiet out of the judicial branch in the state of Wisconsin.
More maps to talk about. Well, that's okay. So that you always, Dan, you always help recombobulate for us. We appreciate that.
That's what I'm here to do. That's what I'm here to do, Greg.
I'm here for it every Friday at 10:30. So before we were talking, before we got on there, I'm always like, what do you want to talk about? And you talk about maps, you talk about the legislature, we're talking about the assembly session. But then you threw something in here that caught my eye. It said former Governor Scott Walker and current bald head haver, because he hit his head on a shelf. Scott Walker called you a name.
Yeah, Scott Walker called me stupid on Twitter. So that was interesting. I was tweeting out the link to my latest column about Wisconsin flipping the Supreme Court, reelecting Tony Evers, and how the long churn of voting and sustained action helped bring about this moment where the votes were struck down. And Walker, as he so eloquently, as you know, just a beacon of just absolute eloquence all the time, just said, "You're so stupid." and went in on saying that, oh, it's I'm trying to pull up the tweet here because I don't have it exactly in front of me. Just one second here. Walker saying, you guys are so stupid. Wisconsin is a purple state because of the Democrat votes packed in Madison and Milwaukee. And I think it's something he tweets out this same map over and over. And this is the same argument that Republicans have made over and over, and saying that, you know, that these votes are packed in here and that's why we have such a tilted legislature. But I think, you know, what I tweeted in response, what the former governor fails to acknowledge, is how often mid-sized cities in the state vote Democratic. So he could talk about, you know, the statewide elections. These votes are the same for everyone. Democrat votes are just votes. But also, I think it's interesting to note that in 2018, when Scott Walker lost, he lost ground in 39 of the state's 40 most populous municipalities. So all those mid-sized cities across the state, those blue dots around the state, Eau Claire, La Crosse, Stevens Point, Oshkosh, Appleton, Green Bay, on down the list, those shifted pretty significantly towards Democrats in that 2018 election when Scott Walker lost. And that trend has continued in the years since. So I think, you know, when they go low, we go to the facts, right?
we go to the mattresses and the facts. Andrew from Maine said that, Dan, you've been recognized by a celebrity. I thought you would have printed out that tweet and added it to your wall of awards. I would have done the same thing. So
I might do that. I had somebody text me asking if I'm going to print it out and have merch.
that's a t-shirt.
But I have been tweeting in the time since that, yay, go out there and subscribe to my stupid blog.
Yeah. I don't know how to say it. Like, this is Scott Walker. He is in charge of the YAF. He's in charge of the youth. It's such a childish response. You can disagree, but you could have just taken out the first line. You guys are so stupid. That's grade school. That's just absolutely, that's stupid.
Yeah, it's but is it unexpected at all? I mean, it's just, this is how he operates, how they, you know, he's just turned into this crap poster on Twitter. I almost slipped up and had Kelvin hit the beep button there for me. This is a guy who thought he was going to be president, and years later, this is what he's doing.
Well, I mean, let's be fair. He thought he was going to be president because he had two brothers behind him who were like, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. And absolutely flared out, just like we saw. I mean, honestly, not unlike Ron DeSantis. In fact, it's like a parallel type of thing. Everyone thought, here comes Ron DeSantis marching down the way. He's going to take that baton and he's going to march America towards a red revolution, which is very weird to say because it sounds like communism, but whatever. And flares out because America got to know him. In Wisconsin, very, very popular, very folksy, takes a brown bag of a brown bag lunch to work and hangs out with the Harley guys at the Lambeau Stadium. But the moment he steps on that in the field in the national circuit, they're like, he's a choice. He's a choice.
Yeah, and this is who he is now. And now he's a political afterthought. His whole legacy in Wisconsin has been undone, is in the process of being undone by, you know, the last few elections in the state. And we saw how unsuccessful he was as governor. I mean, you know, he made all these big promises when he came in 2010, when he was reelected in 2012 and 2014. The state of Wisconsin had its lowest population growth year on record in the 2010s. Yeah. This is a state that has absolutely stagnated. And you look at the comparison to Minnesota or some of our neighbors who have zoomed past us on so many different things. I think we have to look back at the Walker years as a failure. And I think voters have recognized that in the years since by ousting him in 2018, when they elected Tony Evers and flipping the state Supreme Court and now having the opportunity to flip the legislature. I think this is a systematic undoing of the Walker legacy by the voters in Wisconsin who saw Walker's failures over and over again. So I think, what a moment for the former governor.
Give it up for Scott Walker, being a big old pile of awesome. You know, actually, when we're talking about him, I was discussing yesterday about this. When Donald Trump came on, and I don't mean to bring him up again, but it'll connect. Trust me. When Donald Trump came onto the scene, he's seen as crass, offensive, inexperienced, all those things that doesn't go with a seasoned politician running for president. And we thought to ourselves, oh, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, Lindsey Graham, they'll all knock him off his perch. He'll go running away. And what ended up happening is that all these men, regardless of what you think of their voting record or their stances on issues, they were strong GOP leaders and they were respected. And then when he came around, they tried to play his game and they all lost because they were all a bunch of guys in suits making inappropriate jokes and making fun of a guy who we were all making fun of too. And I feel like Scott Walker's trying to do the same thing. He's trying to be part of that, like, you know, I'm anti-woke and I'm cool. How do you do, young kids?
It's a strange moment for the Republican Party.
Yeah, very much so. If you're just joining us, we got Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area with us. Dan, what is going on? One of the things you brought up with us is talking about the assembly session. It's ending soon, and man, so much work got done.
Yeah, well, I think this is one of those things that I often get fired up about in the state legislature. The assembly had its final day of its session yesterday. It is a full time legislature in Wisconsin, and yet they spend most of the year in the election year cycle not legislating. Now being a legislator is not just about being in the Capitol and passing bills. It's about meeting with your constituents. It's about, you know, a variety of other things. But to end the session on February 23rd with 10 months left in the year is just ridiculous to me. And it's just one of those things that's just like, it's how we've always done it.
Yeah.
So this is how we should always do it. And instead of, you know, giving some bills some oxygen to not have to vote on like 100 bills in a day, which is about what happened in the assembly yesterday, to, you know, have a more deliberate process, it's just, you know, goes to the wayside. And I saw some reporting from WisPolitics saying at the end of the session, Robin Voss got up there and thanked everybody for their work this session and, you know, acknowledged that some people might not be here next year and whatever. And it's just, it's like, why are we ending this now? There's plenty of work that can be done. There's plenty of time to campaign, to just have this perpetual campaign cycle. And, you know, even with a new landscape in front of them, even with the most challenging landscape that Wisconsin Republicans are going to see in more than a decade in the state legislature, it still strikes me as just one of the more absurd things that happens in the state legislature. We have a full-time state legislature that doesn't work 10 months out of the year in election years,
but gets paid a decent wage. Healthcare, all those things, and not to mention all the other little fun things you get, like traveling on the dime to tropical areas and going to conferences and things like that. So that's an old story. Go to the Recombobulation area and look up that story about Robin Voss. But we're going to take a moment here to pay some bills. I'm going to go grab a snack bar. But when we come back, Dan Schaefer will still be here. We'll be talking about all the things which require recombobulation here on Matt and Aaron Air, live on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. See you soon.
Welcome to Cleveland.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Tome for the Todd Allball Show.
The Todd Almost Show.
Green Bay is a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Almost Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Now, we tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But right now in front of us is victory over cancer. Right now, cancer research funded by the V Foundation is leading to better treatments and saving lives. Victory over cancer is there for the taking by you, because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory. Learn more at V.org.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Greg Bach, sitting in for Jane Matinair, who is out today. She'll be back on Monday. Don't worry. She'll be back. As always, on Friday, we recombobulate with Mr. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, multi-award winner, wearer of hats, stirrer.
That's what they call me.
Wearer
of hats. That's right.
that's your Game of Thrones name. Wearer of hats, father of children.
That's right. Recombobulate.
So one of the things you wanted to talk about, too, that you brought up was a ballot processing bill that did not get passed. Do you want to let's talk about it?
Yeah. So, I think all of us have memories of certain election nights where Milwaukee's absentee votes in particular arrive late into the night. And there is a reason for this, and it has to do with state law, the state legislature. This is not a Milwaukee specific decision. And so Milwaukee has central count at its absentee ballot processing for its election administration. And state law says that central count cities like Milwaukee cannot begin counting absentee ballots until after polls have closed. So as is often the case, Milwaukee is often the last city to report those results. I think that has a lot to do with the fact that Milwaukee is a much larger city than any other municipality in the state. It takes a little bit longer to count votes when there are more people there to vote.
Are you saying it takes longer to count ballots in Milwaukee than it does in, say, like Bayfield or Hayward? Or
I am saying that, Greg.
Whoa.
I know. And so we have an opportunity now to address this and stop the address all the ridiculous unfounded conspiracies that have come from that, the 2020 election deniers, the Trump world, the MAGA world has so often pointed to Milwaukee with its ballot drops in the middle of the night. It's just people voting. It's just people counting these votes at the time where state law says that they can count the votes. Well, there has been action taken in the state legislature this year to address this, bipartisan action. Mm-hmm. The state assembly passed a vote with overwhelming bipartisan majorities to pass a bill saying allowing Milwaukee to count some of those ballots early, open up an opportunity for counting on Monday and on through Tuesday, so there not are these perceived ballot dumps in the middle of the night on election night. And so I think as we look forward to November 5th, 2024, we can look back at what just happened in the state Senate, because even though the state assembly passed it, Robin Voss supports this. Governor Evers supports this. Ron Johnson has expressed support for this. The Milwaukee Common Council has expressed support for this. Clerks all over the state have expressed support for this, but it has died in the state Senate's elections committee, because state Senator Dan Knodel of Germantown did not put it up for a vote, even though it passed for vote in committee, in the elections committee in the Senate. And Devin LeMahieu, this Senate Republican majority leader in the Senate, said that he would not urge Knodel or take any additional action to try to bring that to the Senate floor. So when we look back on election night and it's like 2 a.m. and we're all waiting for Milwaukee's results to come in, we need to think back to what happened on February 22nd when Devin LeMahieu and Dan Knodel refused to do their jobs and refused to take action on this ballot processing bill. And I think they have said they have not given substantive reasons for this. It seems to me like what they are doing is trying to fuel more conspiracies at the city of Milwaukee.
Well, there's two things that come to mind. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I think we covered this a little bit. We did cover this a little bit earlier in the week. Devin LeMahieu came out and said, it's not my job to push things through, to make things happen like that. I'm not here to push one bill forward through versus another one, but it kind of is. If you're in charge, you can talk to Knodel and say, hey, make this happen. We want to push this through. So him using the excuse of like, well, it's not my job, I don't have any power, that just seems a little childish. And then I don't understand why you come out and act like that. But yeah, and then on the other side of the fact, we're going to be looking back and saying, on November 5th and 6th, most likely, that this could have been solved. And where is the Wisconsin, I'm going to ask this question, where's the Wisconsin GOP in its influence now that they are pushing for banking your ballot and all this, like, they're on board with some measures of early voting, some measures of making it easier? Why aren't they coming here and saying, make this happen, it's very simple, just do it, and we can run on it?
Well, I think that would be a simple solution. And I think also, I think you have to consider the host city for the RNC here too, right? Milwaukee hosting the RNC, and this is opening the door for people to go on stage in Milwaukee at the RNC to spread unfounded conspiracy theories about the city. I feel like those like the MMAC, like the Milwaukee, like the mayor, like the county executive, the state tourism groups and things like that should have a say here and urge Republicans to say, hey, we don't want people on stage trashing our city and questioning our votes and spreading unfounded nonsense. We have an opportunity to address this. We have 10 months to do it. Let's do it. This has bipartisan support. Yeah. It's not like this was a, Republican introduced bill, and it is stalling because of the gridlock that, so often happens under Republican control in the state legislature. It's very frustrating.
Yeah. And it's embarrassing too. Dan Schaefer, thank you so much for being here on Friday. Thank you for being my guest today. It's great to hang out with you. You can always catch Dan on Fridays here on Matt and Aaron Air at 10:30, but you can also go to the Recombobulation area. Don't just read it, subscribe to it. It's very affordable, very informative. Dan, anything else coming up that you want to talk about real quick?
We're taking a look at what's going to be happening next in the state legislature under these new maps. Yeah. And there's just so much to be covering in Wisconsin right now. It's like a news avalanche all the time. So we'll try not to make it too discombobulating for you all.
Well, they do a really wonderful job over there. Dan Schaefer, thanks again for being here. Folks, we're going to pay some bills. I'm going to grab probably 2 granola bars now because I'm hungry. And we'll be back soon. Don't go anywhere. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Get lucky. We're up on nights to get lucky. We're up on nights to get lucky.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Matt Nair on Air.
Want to thank our previous guest, Bob Bonadour from the Milwaukee Planetarium. He's so knowledgeable and obviously loves what he does.
Yeah, because he gets to talk about space all the time. I'm not kidding you. I have watched videos about space and have started to cry. It's so flippin' beautiful to me.
Well, we found your birds.
Yes.
We have found your birds.
Space is my bird.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.